I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It girls, we the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hannestein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey girls, welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay. Can you tell the difference? I wonder if this is Jenny.
This is Lindsay.
Do you know?
I had to like, well, there's so many podcasts that I start that if they have two female hosts, it does take a while to get the different voices. Because I think even if you're best friends, your voices are always similar.
Our voices are similar. And we raised four, right?
So, girlies, we got so many bloody orders of merch. Thank you so much. If you don't know, Lindsay and I launched our own merch. What is different between this and our Teespring merch is Teespring is done by dropshipping. We do still put, you know, submit the designs and everything, but this is just way more of a tangible project for us. We hired Jan Walsh, she was an ex-gal. She created this insane artwork for us for our t-shirts.
So the whole idea, as you know, every merch that we drop has a theme. We've had Wet and Woke, Not Arsed, Ignore My Queefs, Not My Calls, and this one is You Won't Take Our Summer. So obviously we are in the weirdest summer of our generation. It's 2020. Miss Rona fucked up our plans. And we didn't want to be like, there was so much negativity around COVID. So we wanted to make like a positive piece of memorabilia for this weird ass time. So we created with Jan Walsh this image of these two girls chilling out. One has a dick pic on her phone, the other is smoking a joint, and it's just so bright and positive, neon acidic colors. And they have flown off the shelves.
They really have. And we're so, so thankful for you guys, because we were obviously, you know, nervous. It's like, you know, a big investment, like financially, time wise, and you know, everything
with
else.
Teespring, you're not investing, because it's like we said, it's made to order.
Yes.
So this we wanted to like buy, and it's, you know, it's just a great project for us to be able to purchase. And we used the t-shirt company from Eastwall. They did the screen printing.
Yeah, who are incredible. The colors they got, like when I say it's to a T to Jan's drawing, it's insane.
Perfect.
So it was something that we wanted to do. We wanted to like hire a Dublin creative who can, you know, go beyond our skill set. And obviously we wanted to use the t-shirt company again, because we've used them before and they're just so reliable. But girlies, these t-shirts, as Lindsay said, are flying off the shelves. They're €28. We ship pretty much everywhere internationally. If we're not shipping where you're shipping now, just message me. I can set up shipping for you.
Australia. Literally not allowed post to you guys. We went down and asked, and they said Australia, you can't post to you, apparently.
And loads of the Australian ex-gals have been commenting me like, my mum can't even send me care packages. I feel so bad for them.
It's so awful, because when I'm down the post office dropping off your orders, girls, there's other mammies with like big flipping lions tea bags, and they're like, no, not to Australia. But it's so nice to be able to, like, Jenny and I are both packaging these ourselves. We've bought biodegradable packaging, you know, and just like wrapping them all up, giving little Ickal stickers, and just making sure it's personable and like a nice experience, because it just feels different this time being able to send them off ourselves.
Absolutely. And just one last thing, if you go on our website, so they're available on itgalspodcast.com/merch, or you can just kind of see the merch store little icon at the top of the website. If you're confused about sizing, Lindsay and I made sure, first of all, they come size small to double XL, and we wanted to make sure to take a picture of ourselves in every single size. We are the only models we had at the shoot, so maybe that can expand in the future.
We refuse to be in the shoot.
So it'll just give you a frame of reference for the size, but I would say that they are a unisex fit. So I have the size guide that a size small would be like an 8 to 10, but like they're not going to be a fitted t-shirt no matter what. They are roomy, they're comfy, they're 100% cotton, they're a really nice feel. Yeah. So,
and it's for like your weekday wear.
Yeah.
Where like,
it's not a going out dress.
No. But I mean, we've been wearing them like, this is my new style now. Our merch, bike shorts during the week.
Yeah.
And then just a little skirt on top of the weekend. Yeah. I'm sick. Like, if Miss Rona taught me anything, it was like, I like getting glam with my makeup and hair, but like clothes, I just want to be comfortable. So, and we always wear t-shirts.
Mm.
And having these, like, I love wearing the XXL to bed.
Oh, so comfy.
And then I think I like the large and the medium for like an oversized. And then the small, which I cropped today. I cropped one of the whites in a small, just at the end of the illustration, so you didn't lose any of it. And it just gives that like different kind of hang to the t-shirt. So,
yeah. They're so
they're
cute.
Really, really fucking cool. We're really happy with them. And you obviously are too if you're buying them.
Yeah, so one last time, €28, guys, plus postage and packaging. If you want postage to your place and it's not available, just DM us on Instagram. And they're available on our website, itgirlspodcast.com/merch. There is only a handful left and there's one print run of these. Obviously, the black sold out really quick. We don't know if we're going to do a reprint because we do want to just keep it super limited and move on to the next one. So grab them while you can, girls. Now, this week on It Girls, we're covering, so many fucking DMs on this is, I would say, without a doubt, this is our most requested episode ever, which is insane to me. But it's, I mean, the amount of DMs we've gotten, both on It Girls, on my personal, we've had, like when we opened up our Tumblr, we're talking about Free Britney.
It's Britney, bitch. She's finally here. We're talking about her. We're addressing it. We're touching upon it.
And we're going to have a special guest for one very small section of this podcast, but one of the juiciest sections. So,
yes.
Free Britney movement. Let's maybe give a quick introduction. If someone does not know what the Free Britney movement is without going into too much detail, how would we describe it?
Okay, so this movement, actually, this is its second time coming.
Yeah, I remember.
So I think the first time was maybe last year. It kind of started to trickle out. And
it was like January last year, I think.
Yeah, there's always been, and I mean, ever since, you know, Britney had her breakdown, there's always been a kind of miscommunication between like Britney's people, her company, and the papers.
Yeah.
It's no one knows what's going on. It's very hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was one of the biggest stars to mm-hmm. come out of our generations.
I'd say arguably the biggest like mm-hmm. pop star of that pop tweeny bopper pop kind of craze from the early 2000s.
That craze doesn't exist in it anymore.
No,
she came
music.
On the cusp before, you know, she wasn't accessible via Instagram and stuff. She was like hounded by the paparazzi, but we're getting into that. But this, I feel like 2020, because we've been sat in consuming so much content and like really feeling like it, you know, you can get pent up. We've seen the BLM movement come out. And that was like, even when we did that podcast, people were saying like they'd never felt that amount of virality around it ever. And it's obviously been an issue for as long as humankind.
Absolutely, yeah.
And now it's getting the kind of recognition. And I feel this is why it's happening now with Britney, where it was spoken about. We've all been aware she's not been acting, you know, herself or what we imagined her to be before the breakdown, and there's just, it's quite concerning things that have gone on, but it's never been anything, you know, it's just been left to bed.
It's and been now bubbling, it's below the surface for a very, very, very yeah. long time, but very easy to ignore. But you're so right that I think that like so much of this stuff is coming to the surface now because people are sat at home on their phone and like they're really researching into things. And you know, I mean, we're kind of in a post-quar world-ish in Ireland, but most places in the world are still very much on like mm-hmm. lockdown. So obviously the Free Britney movement is a response to the fact that Britney Spears has been through, it has been under a conservatorship since 2008. And it's all about wanting to, you know, literally free her from this, let give herself her agency back. And it's been run by her like massive, massive fan base. Like as Lindsay said, this came out first, which we'll go into detail in a few minutes. But it came out first, I think it was last January to April around. And people were literally protesting outside mental health facility that she was allegedly in. They were protesting outside like courtrooms where she was allegedly, her dad was in, you know, talks for her conservatorship. So
and before we even start, everything that we are saying is allegedly, because yeah. we, no one knows what's going on, no. Which I think ruffles the feathers more, because you're like, if it's not transparent, then it must be something seedy. I think that's what people take from it, or that's what they're gathering through their information from the internet. Mm-hmm. And like, we've had to learn from many times that like, whatever you read online, no matter the virality or how many, you know, views this YouTube or TikTok thing has about the situation, this is just us kind of conversating about it and like talking about what's going on, because I just think no matter the virality, no one knows what the fuck is going on.
And we never will know until Britney, if she ever comes out and talks about it. And even then we won't know. Because again, there's always, you know, what they say, there's three sides to this, every story. There's her side, his side, and the truth. So like, if it came out, yeah, there's Britney's side, there's her dad's side, and then there's the truth. And that lies somewhere in the middle. But we are just going to be like reacting. When we talk about the conservatorship, it's all allegedly. It's going to be, you know, we'll present some stuff that's obviously leaked and
we're
come
trying
out
to piece it together. Because for these things, especially someone like Britney Spears, who has been in the limelight for so many years and has had a multitude of ups and downs in her career and her personal life and everything like that, so to try and kind of condensify it and understand it is really overwhelming. So this is why I think this podcast will be fun, to just kind of jigsaw it all together and try and like
try
understand. So we want to talk about we have little points.
Yeah, well, let's just open up the conversation. Do you remember when you first heard Baby One More Time, her first single, when Britney Spears came, like, I mean,
so this was 1999, right?
I think it was 98.
I think it was, let me see.
It was earlier, because I think I was 8 years old. And I remember she came in like a fucking cannonball. Like, it was like the most iconic.
Okay, you were right. It was 1998.
Yeah. And it was just the most iconic. It was like no music I'd ever heard. I mean, as I said, I was only 8 years old, but I remember it being like my jaw on the floor. I think I remember being in swimming and someone being like, have you heard that Britney Spears song? And I was like, no. And back then, for any of our 2000s babies, which is mad that you're out there, but I acknowledge your existence. Like when back in the day, when me and Lindsay wanted to hear a song, you'd have to sit down and watch MTV until that fucking song came on.
Yeah.
As a music video.
I can't remember like where I was, but I just remember looking at her with the little puffball pigtails.
The puffball pigtails?
The little like mini bangs.
The high pigtails. They were like hot.
Yeah.
And, like, the school
and they were
uniform.
Plaits, and they had little pink ribbons at the end. And then she was like also like in the sports hall with her basketball. And I was like, she is literally the most prettiest girl I've ever seen. She was just so doll-like.
And I think
so
we,
American and like, it was just like what I imagined American to be like.
Well, we grew up in a very like Americana kind of like pop culture was driven by like Nickelodeon for our age, and we had Nickelodeon, so we were seeing the likes of Mary-Kate and Ashley and, you know, watching Saved by the Bell and all these shows that like really projected the, you know, a singular beauty standard, which was like a small little blonde girl.
White girl,
yeah, exactly. And you know, she, Britney Spears was like that, you know, quote unquote all American girl. And I remember I loved her outfit in the pink sports bra and the white kind of like, dare I say, O'Neill's tracksuit bottoms.
Was that with in the sports hall?
No, it was in the outside scene where she's dancing in the car and she does
that.
A backflip. And I remember being like, oh, and everyone was like, she used to be a cheerleader. I was like, oh my God, this bitch is the coolest.
What I loved about Britney as well, because she came out, like when you look at pop stars, so obviously, you know, 98, that time was massive in fashion. It was like the waif. We were seeing a lot of that. But Britney was like a fit kind of...
She was
cheerleader,
really, yeah,
healthy gal.
Really athletic,
you know?
Like a dancer and all that kind of stuff. Now, obviously, now we know that, like, especially in America, I think... Or in Ireland, should I say. In America, they would know that, like, she existed pre-Baby One More Time. She was in the Mickey Mouse Club, along with, like, Ryan Gosling, Justin Timberlake, JC Chazet, Christina Aguilera. Like, the amount of people that came from that is really insane. I remember being so jealous there was something like that. Like, when I heard that at 8 years old, I was like... The Mickey fucking Mouse Club?
Which is gas, because now, as a 33-year-old, I'm like, so the opposite. I'm like, thank God my parents didn't put me to work.
Oh my God, thank God I wasn't like, you know, thrusted into the public eye from the age of 5
but
or something.
Working. Like, I think, like, obviously working. When I was watching any TV show, like whether it was Barney or flipping, you know, Sister, I was like, I wish I could be on TV.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, get up at 6 a.m, Lindsay, and spend your whole evening learning off these lines. I'm like, no, it's like they were working.
And it's crazy how many actors and actresses that like, especially came up when we were teenagers, where victims of being put to work by their parents, like Leonardo DiCaprio, Drew Barrymore, Winona Ryder,
Shia LaBeouf. He did that movie called Honey, which I really want to watch.
It's so good.
It's about American his, like, relationship Honey, isn't it? With his father and how, like, him as a child was supporting his family financially as a child, having that, like, responsibility on
That's
you.
It's insane.
And I mean, is it going to be a case of in the next few years we see that? I mean, surely we can't have child actors anymore.
But then it's weird. I mean, it's like, can you have them? Or like, what, you know, are
but
there...
But if your kid can't work and spar at a certain age, or till whatever, if what, 16, is it?
I know, it's a double standard in entertainment. But then it's like, what, so there's never going to be a child in a movie ever again? So people who are writing movies can't write children into them?
Maybe. I don't know. But like, I mean, yeah. If you look at how the timescale of stuff is moving so quickly, like, because then it comes in, why do we want to watch children? Like, it's a, you know? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's for kids.
Yeah, so some movies.
Some movies, but like, you know, you also can't completely censor art in a way. It's a really complex
argument. It's a complex one when you are seeing and we're hearing so many times about the abuse and horrific situations that go on within, you know, entertainment industry. And absolutely. Without the kind of consensual, you know, the consent of like this child understanding.
It's not knowing consent, because obviously when you're 8 you're like, I want to be in movies, but like, you know, you don't like anything at 8, you don't fully understand the ramifications of anything other than playing with a Barbie. Even then you don't fucking stand, you know, you're like, oh yeah, the Barbie's broken. Oh,
it's
shit.
Really complex, but that's not what we're talking about here today. So that's another... if we're talking about when we both first saw her, I was just like, and then in interviews they made her so likable, she was so sweet the way she spoke, she was so kind, she wasn't all about boys, like even the way that she had a very like non-platonic relationship with Justin Timberlake when they went out.
She was a known and out virgin,
yeah,
and that was a big thing. And obviously now we know, and she came out and said, like, I think by the time she was like 17, 18, like, she wasn't a virgin when she was publicly dating Justin Timberlake, but like her record label, which I'm pretty sure is Interscope, were like pushing that visual on her. Like, it was like
this virginal, perfect American.
You're the all
sweetheart.
American, exactly. Like, you're from Louisiana, you're like a Southern Christian girl, you know, like,
yeah,
you
nice
are,
family. You
yeah,
know.
You're very that.
And we saw that with her very own Boyzone.
Yeah.
Stephen Gately didn't come out till, I don't know, years after Boyzone, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there was maybe some kind of conversation, and same with Mark and Westlife, you know. I don't know if I do remember hearing that about like gay guys in pop bands, that it was just told to kind of keep
it's, well, because they want them to be seen as like sex symbols
for young girls.
Yeah,
I fancy the whole of Stephen Gately.
I was convinced I was going to marry the bastard, I swear to God. R.I.P. he was so gorgeous,
so good looking.
But yeah, so like obviously then Britney Spears was kind of like this a product of a system of like you're going to be famous. The only thing that is out there for you is the entertainment industry. And a lot of the times what you see happen with that is that, you know, someone spends so long throughout their childhood dedicating all this time to the entertainment industry, usually being homeschooled, so they might not have as substantial an education when by the time they're 18. It's also all they've known.
They also may not have peers their age if they
don't probably and they've been living like an adult,
yeah
you know? So
like, you have to make big choices like that with your management, like, do you want to do how many records, when will we get it out, like, that's like, it's a pressurizing.
And when I was thinking about it earlier on, I was like, I wonder how much did her existence as a child star make her quite like submissive to authority and her parents telling her what to do, which is interesting when you look at her current case. So like, say for example, when she was growing up, I'm pretty sure her mom and dad were like close managers of her. They would have been at every meeting because like that would be like legally what you'd have to do. So they would be probably, I'm presuming now obviously, but this is what I imagine would happen if you're a responsible parent, that is, that you'd be in these things and you're going, yes, Britney will do this, no, she won't do this, like speaking upon your behalf a lot of the time because you are the guardian, you know. They even would have had to, like, you know, sign off for like certain elements of her work, for example, if she was 16. Like, I think when she did Baby One More Time, when she recorded that, which by the way was a song written for TLC, which is gas.
No way.
Yeah, they said no to it. So that, you know, they would have to have signed off for certain things when she's 16, 15 maybe recording it. I think she was 15 when she was signed.
Which is interesting because TLC were, as a band, so much more overtly provocative. Like Lisa Left Eye Lopez used to wear a condom over her left eye and stuff like that. And they'd have like safe sex graffitied over like some of their outfits. Like they were outwardly speaking about safe sex. Like that was something that they were.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that then if they rejected that song, they gave it to Britney, but it was clouded in such a like, oh, I'm just, it was never, I never looked at that as a sexual song when I was younger.
Hell no. But then when you, it is a funny song to when you listen to it, like Hit Me Baby One More Time. It's all about like, it's basically like he hit me and it felt like a kiss, like that old song, you know, that way.
It is, but then is it like, are you saying it's this ambiguous term, which like I think children love in terms of like, I remember, you know, first knowing that the word fuck meant sex. Like it's like hit, what does that mean? Like hit it?
I don't I don't even think you think of it. It was so catchy and such a like catchy pop song. Like when you're that age, like you and I were probably the perfect age to be Britney stans when we were younger. Like I was 8, you were 10. So like it was like post Spice Girls too. So we've already stanned the Spice Girl. Oh no, it wasn't post. It was middle Spice Girls. Yeah. So you know, that whole thing was coming out. You're like stanning all these like pop icons. You just kind of accept whatever. Like I don't think I ever even
oh, you weren't like, Mom, what is it? Or no, even your mom would maybe say it more.
Yeah.
No, I remember like I'd be blasting out tunes being like, you know, screaming along the lyrics, and I was like, turn that filth off. I'm like, what? She's just saying lick me out. Oh my god, yeah.
She's saying lick her arm. But obviously, you know, on that song and on so many other songs, a big kind of juxtaposition that was going on in Britney's career was like the sexualization of her while being heralded as this like virgin and like virginal kind of girl. She was also coming out with these like extremely raunchy songs,
provocative looking, like, and yeah, that was major. And when you even consider the fact that like during that time is when like Epstein was rife,
yeah,
and this whole idea of with the elite, especially, and just, who are buying into this idea of the virginal child, and it's
teenager,
like,
yeah, teenage, like freaky shit,
and just buying into that whole thing, like being like maintaining your like idea of being a virgin, but then like trying to lure in children because it was like all fun and like she's in school and she had pigtails and we loved that because we just saw it for that. But then the darker side of it, like the older man who was probably also looking at that, and like it's a weird thing to kind of play up to when you look back at that, like that they were insisting on calling her a virgin but yet forcibly putting her out there as a provocative star.
I think it's like it's a funny thing to look at in the just in the context of pop culture as a whole, you know, that way of how much you can slide. And look, also saying this, like, I'm no prude when it comes to like, you know, quote unquote art, you know, like I know people also like critique a lot of the songs, like say when they come out when she's like in her 20s and stuff, and it's like, yes, arguably they're still 100% like putting her on this pedestal as this like sex icon, but like, you know, you also have to be like, well, we don't want, you know, just what's her name, the one that Luna loves with the big bow,
Jojo.
It's like, you know, whose music is more impactful, Britney Spears
Katie
or Jojo?
Melua.
You know, so like sex does sell at the end of the day, and that's just the culture that we live in. However, it is extremely like question mark when it is, you know, 16-17 year old girl.
And if we look at say Britney and then compare her to, for example, Lily Allen, and how, and even TLC, how they were just a bit more honest within their music, and I think that's maybe the kind of problem with pop culture back then, was that this curated idea and like, you know, hiding certain stuff. Like, I mean, even with Lily Allen, yes, she spoke about sex, she was probably seen as a sex symbol.
Was she a teenager when she came out first? How old was she?
She was young, I think maybe early 20s. It wasn't, but I'm just saying that like more her music was just a bit more like overtly, like it was more herself. She wasn't hiding anything. She was like singing from her soul, dare I say, you know. And even Christina Aguilera, like a lot of these,
Christina was pretty
sexual, and then she did the whole dirty thing, which was like, I had clicked into porn when I first saw that as a child.
I would wonder, I don't know too much about Christina, but I'm, from what I remember, I was obsessed with Christina during that phase. But I think that was, no, again, it could be portrayed as if it was, but it was portrayed as if that was like her kind of breaking the mold of being this, like, she wanted to push it that way, because I think she...
Well, yeah, and we see that with like Miley Cyrus, Britney herself, and Christina.
Yeah, they always kind of go backlash against the kind of overtly innocent character that was kind of put upon them.
And that probably is from the control.
Yeah.
you were controlled to be this type of pop star, and you obviously are talented, so you have, like, you know, ownership over how you want to, like, show your talent or whatever. It's like me with the church. Like, yeah. I honestly feel like I dress the way I do because when I'd go away to church camp in Germany, we were told to wear, like, long sleeves, skirts down to my knees.
Cover up. And then, so now it's like,
now that I can wear what I want, I do. Yeah. You know? And yeah. I'm like, I'm never covering up.
And it's so teenage too. And I think to an extent, when you think of it, like, if you're going through your regular teenage years, like you're 16, like Britney was, 15, 16. Mm-hmm. And you're being told exactly how to be, exactly the type of person you're being. You're also, you know, coming into your sexuality when you're 16, 17. You know, you're curious.
And you're told that that's bad. If you were having sex with your boyfriend.
Yeah, you're told how.
And you're saying, don't ever let that out.
And if they ever find out, you're going to be fucked your career. Imagine that also on top of normal teenagers being like, I don't want anyone to find out I'm having sex with my boyfriend. Like, normal sex shame. But then also impact that with, like, probably these scary executives from Sony or whatever being,
and
like,
Howard Stern,
anyone
bringing on Justin Timberlake onto his podcast, and, like, did he have Britney on as well? I remember watching, like, a really uncomfortable interview with, I can't remember,
I don't think I've seen that
Justin or Britney, but where he's literally continuously asking about her sexual endeavors. I don't know what you'd call it, but so yeah, I mean, growing up with that is insane to be like, you are a sex symbol, mm-hmm. and you are being presented that way.
Well, you're kind of not being, I find it interesting that, like, you are a sex symbol, but you're being presented as the opposite. Like, it's kind of like,
but I think, like, in latter years, she's looking back and being like, oh, that was also purposely to make me
absolutely
more desirable.
Yeah.
A sex symbol.
But I'm just saying, what it is interesting about it is, like, how much you ignore, because the veneer was so wholesome, but then, like, so much of the other content was so raunchy, you know?
It just reminds me of, like, R. Kelly, Epstein himself, like, all these things that are, like, fully in plain sight. Mm-hmm. And, like, we're seeing these reoccurring things happen with these, like, massive stars and hugely famous people and well-known people where, like, where's their protection?
Yeah.
But then how, like, I don't get that with Britney.
What do you mean?
As in, like, and this is, I think, why it's gone so viral now, because it's like, I think people who are watching her and not thinking that she's looking well and, like, worried for her stability, and then they're like, why are we, as people who've never met her and just consumed her music, worrying about her and concerned for her? Where are her people in her life?
Yeah, and that's what it's like what you said earlier on about the not having peers. Like, when everyone that you're quote-unquote friends with or any peer that you've ever had has been working for you, that's just such a weird dynamic. Like, you know, which we'll get into later on, you hear a lot about all these people who are like, I used to work with Britney, and, you know, here's pictures of us being friends. It's like, that's so sad that, like, these people who were probably, you know, I'm sure they were great friends. They're on the road together. They're touring. They're spending so much time together, like dancers and photographers and all these people that would follow her around. Not to say that they're not her real friends, but that friendship can be so controlled, because the minute that they're not needed anymore, they're fired, and then you can't access Britney.
Yeah.
Like, if you're her friend, like, imagine, like, we had a friend who then, say, James Kavanagh, right? Like, say he got so famous and, like, he had these people around him that were like, you're never contacting him again. Change his number and we can't get in touch with him.
Yeah, you just can't contact them.
And we could imagine seeing someone that close to you for so long, going through something that you're like, there's something not right here. And then also knowing that if you speak out, you're going to have all these lawyers and, like, really, it could be scary, you know?
Yeah, and apparently that has been happening behind the scenes as well, when people have been speaking out that they have been...
Oh, I'd say,
like,
so.
Podcasts have been removed and...
It's oh, yeah, shit, so say, I'd say so. So, like, you know, obviously she was made as this teen star, and I'd say, I was trying to think of it today, I was thinking about the catalogue of her songs, and something that's also spoken a lot about within the Free Britney movement is... And this would be something that I'm always like, question mark. It makes me be like, I don't know if I buy this as a tinfoil hat. And you know me, I live my tinfoil hat.
Oh, you wear it well, honey.
I wear with my merch. Yeah.
It goes so well with the merch.
It goes unreal with the merch. I mean, silver, black and white.
I know.
Hello.
Dream, trio, team.
I get that bucket hat on the rig. You get your beret. My beret. Like, I don't know if I buy the conspiracy that they're like, there's so many hidden messages in early Britney Spears' music that she's being controlled, because there's like all this, like this visuals of her in chains a lot, and the song like I'm a slave for you, or not so much the later stuff like Circus and Piece of Me, I can kind of get it with that, but stuff like Slave for You, Stronger, that kind of early era, I think a lot of them are on the Oops I Did It Again album and the one after that. I don't know if I buy that, because I'm like, surely if she was being controlled, that like, first of all, Britney is
as
not,
if she's writing pen to paper, yeah. Eminem style in 8 Mile,
like, yeah, and they're like, they're like, that's
Oops,
approved.
I did it again.
They're like, oh, Slave for You, that's approved once you wear a thong over your jeans.
Yeah,
like, no, I don't.
Hey, Britney, we're trying to control you.
Yeah,
as long as I can sing about it.
Yeah,
no, we don't want people to know.
Because also, you have to remember that Britney, especially in those days, like, she was not writing her songs. These songs were being written and basically put into like the factory of pop songs. That's why they were like.
To see how addictive they are and
catchy.
Yeah,
they're like addictive, they're catchy, they're playing into everything. Like when you look at the lyrics of like a lot of the songs, they don't really make sense.
Yeah, like I mean, know? Of course, when I'm looking, like I think the whole conspiracy, I agree with you, like the whole conspiracy of her being like, I'm trapped, help, is like not it, sis. But what it is,
I think you're on the later stuff though.
I think what they were trying to do with that was, like, you know, we had Baby One More Time, where she was like teasing us a little with the crop top.
Yeah.
Then she went to Oops, I Did It Again. She had the full red skin tight. Like, mm-hmm. So she was more kind of like, I am being a sex symbol. And
but
then it went
more,
to
still more kind of like the baby doll makeup.
Yeah.
And the silly dancing. You know, it's very well done.
It is. And then it kind of came. And I think more so the shackles and the cage was like
sexy.
The desirability of
Absolutely.
Her. And like, you know, people not being able to access her and her being this like hugely massive star and everyone desiring her, and she looks hot and she's in this cage.
But they still did it so, I always think they just did it so, it just got more in your face. But then the opposite, like the sexy stuff got more in your face, as in like you're talking, I remember watching which was a show that I stand, Lindsay, OMG, I'm sure you're the same, The Making of the Video.
Oh,
I remember watching, and I recorded it on a tape.
On MTV.
The Making of Slave for You video, because I really wanted to learn the dance. Never really could.
It was a really hard dance.
So
I
hard.
Tried as well. I like,
tried
okay.
it and fractured my tailbone.
No!
I was in my room.
Poor little baby Jenny.
I was in my room literally sweating, and there was some sort of twirl, and I twirled, and I landed my coccyx bone, so your tailbone, on the corner of this, like, I had this like toy box in my room, and like,
oh,
and I'm just sitting there like
the coccyx. I did that ice skating before. I was out of school for about 4 days.
It's the most. I remember just, you know, like when a kid falls and they don't say anything for a second, you're like waiting.
When you hear a thump and nothing, you're like, oh fuck.
That was me. I literally fell. Now at the same time, like, what, Slave for You was probably 2003 or 2004, so I was like 13, 14.
I love that you still had a toy box in your room, you little cutie. That's how a child should be now.
Absolutely.
A little toy box in her room.
Absolutely.
Dancing to a slutty song.
Yes, literally. Probably low-key freaking myself.
The toy.
Anyway, I remember in the making of that video, because that was like her, definitely, like, I think of all the videos, that was the first one that was like,
that was
whoa,
the most provocative.
Britney,
she
is
sweating.
And they sprayed fake sweat on her. I just, this is burned in my brain. This
was it
saying.
Oil or something? I
it
remember
was,
it
was
from
like an FX makeup.
Show.
It wasn't oil.
Drop the fucking oil routine, because I want to go out like that.
And she had like, so they were like spraying, and she was like being so like a little kooky, because she was really like kooky, like funny personality. And I remember
she was a goofy kind of girl.
Real goofy. And they were like spraying it on her, and like, she was being like, ooh, and then she'd sit in the middle of all these people, and it was that scene where she's like, you know,
and
that,
they're all like gyrating,
they're
up
all
against
like
her.
Going, they're all the dancers, and they're all gyrating, and they're all touching each other. And I remember just being like, oh my God, I want to wear my thong outside my jeans. And they were the lowest cut. That was when she started to go low with the jeans.
She seemed to never have a vagina.
It was
like,
or
like,
an ass crack. I
but
never
then like
I never understood.
Were they trying to insinuate through those really, really low jeans that she had this really tiny fucking vagina?
I don't think so. I think, first of all, it was the style. She was just famous for doing it as low as possible.
I wonder if McQueen came out at the same time, because remember he made this butt crack.
I think that was like 92.
Yeah.
But I never understood how her jeans were so low in the front, but she never had her arse crack showing. Because I remember when I would wear low cut jeans, the one
understand.
Problem I had was like, I'd always be hoofing them up. You'd always have like thongs in her. She never did. Oh, it probably
she just has a really long torso.
She has a really long torso. And I think that she played that up, because that was like real kind of like, that was what you wanted back in the day. But yeah, I remember like that Slave for You, that was like a turning point in her like her,
in terms of her more like taking ownership of her sexuality, yeah, in a way, instead of being like it was more in your face, instead of being like covered in a little pigtail with a lollipop. Yeah.
And funny Britney trivia was that obviously the choreographer on that, and this is where a lot of the controversy came from later on the years, the choreographer of Slave for You and her longtime choreographer Wade Johnson was the one who she cheated on Justin Timberlake with, who also came out with allegations against Michael Jackson years later.
Oh, he's in Finding Neverland.
Yes. Really weird. But anyway.
So hold on. She was with Justin and cheated on Justin with Wade. With
Wade.
Or maybe they bonded over the abuse. Who knows?
Who knows? But like, she, that was also a big thing, because I remember when it came out then that she cheated on Justin, because that was like the breaking of the veneer when her and Justin broke up. Because I remember that famous picture where they're both wearing all denim and they had just announced that they were both going to get married again. Like, these two were engaged to be married, to be wed, and they were still being put up as teenagers. At this point, they were defo like 19, 20. They were saying, we're getting married in Disneyland. Like, it was still so childlike. It's like, the more sexual and the more they couldn't portray them as virgins anymore, it's like, they still tried to almost OTT on the, like, innocence. You know, like, we're going to get married, even though we'll be riding on the slide. We're getting married in Disneyland. It's still like, please, children, please still like us. That's like the weird Interscope executive mind. They're like, they have to be liked by children. Not realizing that Britney Spears' fans were growing with her. Like, totally. By the time Slave for You came out, as I said, I was 14. I was frigging myself.
Yeah, I was ready.
I was ready, honey.
I was ready to wear a thong. I was ready to be a slave. From Dunn's.
Yes, master. I was being like freaking sexy slaving at 14. But like, yes.
I think what they're trying to do there is like, because it's not even to like have the kids growing up. It's more so to protect. It's like to kind of keep cosplaying with the parents.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that, like, I mean, because the kids will find and follow shit that they want. But it's like, say we were speaking the other day about like YouTube, where like on a lot of freaky YouTubes, they'll like have the doo doo doo, like all these playful songs, but it's actually like a bit darker, and there's, you know, you have to be very careful with what your children are consuming.
You in the room, you just hear boop 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 when you look at it. It's like Spider-Man pissing on Elsa.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all these like weird little dark moments with two Play-Doh fucking figurines. So I think that's maybe what they were trying to do, and sell her as this like perfect thing.
But then you're so right, because the kids are the ones watching the music videos, but the meme is looking at the news and looking at the press, and what she sees is Britney Spears going, I'm getting married to my childhood sweetheart in Disneyland. So you're like, oh, she's lovely. She's lovely. No, not saying that she's not, but
which, if you like, coincide that with the whole like pedophile ring shit that's been going on in Pizzagate. It's like, it's so clever how they're able to get into that.
Manipulative
and manipulate children. It's freaky.
So obviously, you know, we have a Britney dominates with a capital D. Actually, caps lock, full stop, bold letters, underline, whatever the fuck you want to put in it. She dominates pop music from 1998 till 2007. She is known. I remember actually when it like kind of culminated, because right before her breakdown was the kiss with Madonna, right?
And, yes, and that Christina. Was at the MTV Awards.
And that was when Madonna, I remember around then, was saying like, Madonna was like, she is the princess of pop. Because like, obviously Madonna's known as like the queen of pop. And she
was kind of passing on her crown.
She passed on, and she was and basically,
Madonna, or Britney is a huge Madonna fan.
Yeah, and like, they did that obviously three-way thing with thing, and that was like the sexualization to a peak. It's like, I mean, even looking now, I looked at that only a while ago, because it was like, you know, when you're like randomly having a few edibles or something and you're watching weird shit on YouTube, it was like the most insane moments of the VMAs, and I looked at that case again and I was like, I can't, that was in outrageous beyond TV.
And not
back
only
then.
Like, it was like Christina and Britney were like known as rivals, yeah, because like
they made
Christina had the voice, and like, you know,
and they made them rivals,
yeah. And then Madonna was the kind of like, come on girls, this is how we'll make up. And then Justin was in the audience, and they like cut the camera to him looking angry. It was like,
I mean, it was Oscar worthy.
And I was like, oh, that's what I'm wearing to my wedding, whatever Britney was wearing on stage. I was like, I'm gonna dress like that when I'm getting married.
I was wearing
like a corset, like a ripped Sean off like skirt.
And they were singing Like a Virgin. Like when you look at that, That is just like, and obviously, like, you know,
it's like the plain sight thing, like, yeah, with R. Kelly, he did that song with Aaliyah, or yeah, that album, which is called Age Is Only
A Number.
A number.
Age is and just a number.
Age ain't nothing but a number. Oh, yeah, that's what, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he had
our white asses
married her.
Age is
when
nothing
she was a
but
child.
One number.
And
yeah,
he paid someone, like, it's like, but he was literally telling us there was nothing hidden.
Well,
here,
he, like,
you know,
trafficked her as well, which is fucking weird. But yeah, so obviously, you know, Britney's dominating, and then I remember In the Zone came out. Definitely my favorite Britney album of all time. It is so good. And that was when she was getting sexy. There is songs in there about fingering yourself. There is songs out there, it's called The Touch of My Hand. And on tour, when she...
Oh, wow. Oh, I remember the tour. Talk yeah, me through that
in
again.
In tour, like, when that came on, when she did that number, it a bed came out. And she was, like, in the bed with, like, two men. And the song is like, I just discovered... My imagination's taking over, 'cause all I got to understand is the touch of my hand. And then,
ooh,
it goes,
yes,
I love myself, it's not a sin, I can't control what's happening. Like, it is, I remember hearing that and being like, oh,
oh my lord.
It
Jenny
is such a good album, by the way. Listen to that album, it's fucking amazing.
Which is also, I wonder if she had any part of that.
Well, I think apparently she did, that she was like, I had heard anyway rumors that, like, she was basically like, I want to make, like, this kind of music,
because you're
now
trying to untangle what you've been taught, like, yeah. I had that with the Christian, and again, she had the religious upbringing,
really Christian, yeah,
so, like,
Baptist,
you are trying,
she,
to, like, you know, untangle, you know, the normal, like, society normalizing sex. And what you have been raised to think of, like, masturbation is a sin, sex before mm-hmm. marriage is a sin, sex without anyone, not sex unless you're having it with your husband for the first time and only your husband is, anything else
yeah.
is a sin. And it's really hard to
And imagine navigating
maneuver,
that
yeah.
in a public space, and also being, like, told that you are basically the... like the virgin of virgins, like, you are known as, like, virginal Britney Spears. And you
and
know,
if you think about it as well, at that point, okay, so if we're looking at, say, like, from 2006 to 2008, like, that time frame, the paparazzi were like that time frame of tabloids, paparazzi, with, like, we see Britney, there was, like, certain stars who were just hounded. Britney was one, Amy Winehouse was another,
Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton,
they were hounded, like,
yeah,
it
beyond
was
belief.
Like, remember seeing that on,
because it was like the sweet spot right before
social media,
so, like, it was, they were actually covering celebrities, like, we were probably consuming them like social media, as in, like, seeing them so much, so
it was
much,
like
so much.
Yeah, you'd be seeing it in the tabloids as if it was a, like, Instagram story. It was live.
Yeah.
It was, this is what Paris and Britney and Lindsay Lohan
yeah.
got up to last night. But we didn't have access to their own personal pages or anywhere
and
to go for.
It was the birth of, like, blogs. So you had Perez Hilton and TMZ mm-hmm. starting off. So you could have these, like, I remember there being times, and we're going to have our special guest on in a second to talk about the next section of this, but I remember there being times where I was looking at Perez or I was looking at TMZ and it, like, them basically live documenting, like, following around Britney Spears. So, like, it was exactly like
that. Still exists on YouTube. You can look up
yeah.
like, there's all these, I think it was MrPaparazzi.uk. I used to find him on YouTube, where it was just like, they wouldn't even have a lot of views, but it was just a 20 minute long video of them in a car trying to follow Britney or Amy Winehouse or Kelly Osbourne or whoever the fuck, and it was like 20 minutes of them, like, going into a store, coming out, them, like, up against their window. And also the freaky thing about it was how many of them, they were like ants hiving around her in that time.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, they were, the paparazzi back then for Britney Spears were completely just stalking her. And it 100% led to what we now know as like her breakdown.
And the turning point. So we have Adam O'Reilly on The Blower. Say hey.
Oh, hey guys. I haven't heard from you in ages.
Oh, I know. Miss Sang, how are you doing?
In my head.
What?
What's up?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, we're good.
We're good.
So, yeah, we were talking about the whole, like, Britney Spears, you know, the whole kind of up of her career. And then around, like, 2006 to 2008, we were talking about, that was, like, Perez Hilton times when really paparazzi were, like, there's never been that level of paparazzi since, I feel like, those, that pop stardom time. And obviously that led to her having the breakdown. So what do you remember? Where were you?
Yeah, like,
where were you when Britney had her breakdown?
Like, you know what? All I remember about that time was, like, it really cemented into me. And I remember talking to kind of about this, but when Caroline Flack died. And it was the whole, like, the kind of cycle of celebrity and its, like, interaction with, like, the consumer, and, like, how in the beginning, you know, like, we're all about it, we love it, and you keep building, like, people like Britney Spears back then, you know, to, like, the pedestal, and for years they kind of spend it up there on some sort of, like, God level.
Yeah.
And, like, whatever it is about, like, the darker side of human nature, we love to see them fall. Like, we love to put them up there, but even more, we love to drag them back down.
Absolutely, because I remember, like, that go, because I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure the breakdown went on from like 2007 till 2008. Like, it was almost a solid year. Like, I was just talking there about her In the Zone tour, and I actually remember she came to Dublin to perform In the Zone. She was going out with Kevin Federline and she injured her leg, I'm pretty sure, in Dublin or in Belfast.
And they got those tattoos.
Yeah, they got tattoos in Bray.
The
Dice tattoos. So I remember she injured her leg, and that was kind of the beginning of the quote-unquote breakdown, because she paused her tour. She went on, like, basically an endless, like, cancellation of her tour. Like, she couldn't do the rest of the UK leg, I think, and she went back to LA, and it was just kind of her and K-Fed bopping around in Von Dutch looking a mess.
And if she had a broken leg, probably and possibly she was put on certain medication.
Oh, I'm sure she was, yes.
Especially in America, they're like, okay, there you go, have some opiates to help you with that pain.
But I'm yeah, absolutely. And like, I think that's, it was basically free reign for the paparazzi to follow her around, though, because she was up to nothing. She was like, it was all those famous Britney Spears shots of her bopping around with fucking Starbucks frappuccinos.
Mm-hmm.
Were from
so
that
true.
Time.
You know what, now that you're saying it, like, I don't remember there being another celebrity that had, like, in terms of paparazzi, like, his iconic, like, shot of just doing nothing. Like, no one cared about Britney Spears doing nothing as much as we did.
I think Amy Winehouse and her, and that was around the same time, 2007. Like, I remember, I read Lily Allen's book that she recently brought out, and the Sun newspaper found out that she was pregnant before she found out that she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Like,
I remember that.
And then she, it was like early on in her career, she had an abortion, and because the Sun newspaper had released a story of her pregnancy, she had to say that she miscarried. Well, apparently she had to say, she didn't have to, but she said that.
Yeah.
And in fact, she had an abortion. So it's that, like, there was such an obsession with, which definitely has, like, leaned its way into the whole birth of social media, because now people are willfully selling their soul online, but back then it was like rooting through bins and stuff.
You know what, you're so right. And what I will say, if the one, like, the way we talk about, like, the breakdown affected, like, because she was kind of, you know, the way she was still kind of performing consistently throughout, like, there was the breakdown, but it was never long, you know, after the breakdown that she would be back on a stage somewhere.
Yeah, and I remember
like an example of how it affects your performance or whatever. Do you guys remember, it was like years back, I think it may have been around the release of Womanizer, But so she was going promoting that song, whatever, which I'm sure Womanizer did not come out like within like 6 months of her. I think it was one of her stints in like a mental institute, a mental ward.
I think, and is I that think, not Gimme More?
No, but I'm sure she did another small stint before.
Maybe, yeah. Womanizer. Maybe, yeah. Because I remember Gimme More was obviously post breakdown, because that was when she did the VMA performance, and that was meant to be her comeback.
And she just didn't look well. She had like these string extensions on and like an ill-fitting bra.
Let's rewind back though, just to the breakdown specifically, because we haven't actually covered any of that. Like, so I remember specifically because I was like 17, 18 when this was happening. And I just remember hearing that there was like, you could bet in Paddy Power on the day that Britney Spears was going to die.
Wow.
Because it culminated because her and K-Fed were together. They then separated. And what happened was that apparently she was like, lost custody of her children, or was being threatened, and that's when she went in and shaved her head. And the shave the head moment was like the pinnacle of the Britney Spears quote unquote meltdown. And like
that's the image that we're known. But there were also like prior to that was, if we bring the children to it, the paparazzi were hounding her so much that, like, remember that shot of her where she was in her car and
she had
the kid in the lap, and like she dropped the child at one point and the paparazzi caught that, and that went to the paper. So
that was right before the shave the head, because that's what caused her to be threatened to lose custody of her child, as far as I remember. Mm-hmm. But do you remember like consuming any of that, Adam, at the time, like in the media, and like what you felt around the time of her breakdown?
I remember her being like on everything. You know, that is like, it was one of those celebrities to me that, like, when she was in the press, she was like just total press. Like, everyone wanted a picture of her.
Yeah.
So I just remember seeing her on the tabloids, and I remember, like, she was always one of those ones that was, like, one of those, like, very cringy, like, tabloid things, like, oh, like talking about someone's weight, like, looking at someone's, or how chubby they are, or whatever.
Because that was a huge thing as well, remember? Because she was obviously always known as being so in shape. Mm-hmm. Like, she was, like, ripped. And then, obviously, she injured her leg. I think she tore her ACL. I'm triggered because that happened to me. Sorry, guys. Just going to take a moment to breathe.
Breathing in her vape, she means.
But obviously, she had to, like, completely bring down the level of which she was exercising. She was obviously also in a new relation. I don't know. Adam, did you watch, and this is a...
I know what you're gonna say.
The Britney Spears and Kevin Federline's reality TV show.
I think that's on YouTube. I watched a bit of it. It's chaotic. No. It's chaotic.
It's called Chaotic.
Was that the name of it?
I think it was Britney Spears Chaotic, wasn't it?
Oh my gosh. I can't remember the name, but that is gas.
And so much of it is filmed on like their like
tour bus or something.
No, they're in Vegas. She's like, it's just her and K-Fed. They're like in Vegas half the time. They're smoking joints. They're like fucking being insane. And I mean, it's iconic.
That is so reminiscent to Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown.
It's very, very, very Whitney and Bobby. Yeah, I mean, like, no wonder the girl couldn't, like, cracked completely under pressure, you know, that way. And then
and that's what's so interesting about these celebrities, when we're, like, almost surprised when they do crack. It's like, you literally put them in this insane situation. And yes, they're getting paid crazy amounts of money, but I think we don't know the background of that. Like, you do not make that amount of money unless you were working like a horse, you know? And that's what Britney was doing. So say then when she was with K-Fed and she started putting on the weight and she was like able to indulge a little bit. She'd had that crazy time with the Vegas wedding, and that changed people's perception of her, and then the breakdown. So,
and I was reading an article with her the other day, and she was saying that in her 20s, she felt this was like she didn't enjoy her 20s because it was the time of life when she had the most people controlling her and making decisions for her career-wise and things that she didn't want to do, but they were forcing her to do, kind of a thing.
So
it sounds like, and it says that she kind of lost some of her passion for her music.
Which I completely understand, and I can understand... 100%. I can totally understand why she then like probably took full advantage of being able to basically postpone her career.
And how can you even be passionate about something that for that amount of time, like, you're doing world tours and, like, still pushing out albums and music videos. Like, it's hard to maintain that level of passion for a craft, especially if it's not in your control.
Like, at this point as well, like, if we're to believe, like, all the stories out there about the Free Britney movement, it was that while she wanted to sing, you know, that she had a passion for singing and dancing, that the production, whatever, the label demanded that she's singing this baby voice because of the Christina Aguilera proposal, so she's not even getting to make stuff that she wants to make, you know?
And that kind of brings in the whole idea of her being controlled from the get-go, because if she had to, she had probably signed these contracts for 5 to 6 albums or whatever, so, like, she was, like, in jail with these, like, she didn't have, even if she wanted to, like, not sing like that or move her music to a different, she had signed contracts that, like, she had to put out the music, like, to this standard, you know? Yeah. Like, that happens, it happened with Amy Winehouse as well, with after Rehab or after Back to Black, she wanted to do a reggae album and they were like, no. And she was like, I want to do a reggae album. They were like, no. And she was contracted, so she then refused to do. That's why she didn't do another album.
She would be getting cancelled.
Oh, she would, honey. So then that's why she started doing all the special songs and stuff. But yeah, it must feel quite isolating to like enjoy singing and it be a creative job, but none of the creative stuff is in your own control, and you're just seeing
that's
what
I think she dances now. Like, she dances so much now because I feel like that is, like, whatever passion she has left, she can do it in the dance.
Yeah, she, I agree.
Her music.
And also, when you think about the baby voice thing, is a huge thing, was that that's why she allegedly doesn't perform live, because she can't sing like that live. So obviously, if you think of her dancing, that was kind of her performing was just miming and dancing. You know, she was like a drag queen.
Well, her work was, like, I even remember with those MTV shows and stuff, like, it would always show her in the dance room with her, like, you know, backup dancers. And, like, she was so passionate about dancing. That was clear.
So what do you think, Adam, like, you know, what kind of impact on culture did, in your opinion, the breakdown have? And we can let you go after this.
Like, obviously, like, as Lindsay said earlier, when we think of a breakdown in general, now we think of Britney Spears shaving her head, and it's almost kind of even gone on, and, like, now even with, like, how it's seeped into our own world, our own pop culture, and our own minds, like, people just be shaving their heads now, you know, when they're going through something. I know.
But it's not a joke anymore.
No, it's not a joke anymore. It's just been, like, now it's to the point where Britney Spears getting in all these compromising position space and all that, it's not funny anymore. Mm-hmm. It just seems like there's more depth to it now.
So in a way, maybe the fact that the whole world was watching this and people were capitalizing on it because the tabloids were making money, everyone was making money off her, and people were loving this. It was amazing. For the same with the Caroline Flack thing, like, the media were loving that, because people do love to see this kind of stuff. Unfortunately, it's a sick desire that we have to see other people not doing well. But I do think that how the public kind of handled that back in the day would be different to how we're handling it now, because it was seen as a joke. Like, I know people who got Britney's tattoos of her shaving her head. Like, it was just seen as, like, she's a fucking mess, the state of whore.
I think people would, unfortunately, I don't think the society has moved on that much. I think that we saw it with, like, as he said, Caroline Flack, obviously, albeit a different way. But, like, I think that there is this weird, and it's only gotten more heightened and more heightened, this, like, compulsion to see people go through something so horrendous. And we all, we don't all laugh, but we all enjoy it in a weird voyeuristic way. However, in hindsight, we're all very much on this pedestal of, like, leave her alone and make sure she's okay, and, like, mental health awareness. And it's like,
totally.
Is there any end of it? I don't think now the public would be consuming it.
No.
I think they'd be consuming it worse.
Okay, we're going to let you go, honey bun, and hopefully get you up to Dublin to record properly so we can chill, edible, and record.
Thanks, Adam.
Problem. Okay, bye, hon.
See you later, guys. Bye.
I think that's the interesting point of it now, where, again, everyone's feeling like they're doing their due diligence by getting on board with this Free Britney. However, we're seeing TikToks go viral. We're seeing Instagram posts made by these, you know, Velvet Coke or who, like some random pop culture fan
page
with like millions of followers making these posts, kind of breaking down the whole thing. And it leaves an odd taste in my mouth because I don't agree in any way with like how Britney was brought up and the whole like being made to be a star and like sexualized. And obviously there's like some very troubling and awful things that happened to her, but we don't know where her mental state is now.
Yeah.
We don't know what's happening. We're assuming that she's being drugged by her dad, or that she's like, I read something today, for example, that apparently they're giving her medication to push her into early dementia and stuff like that. So there's all these things that you don't know where the root of the information is coming from.
Well, a lot of it is very hearsay. So we can talk about, like, let's talk about, first of all, outline what's happening with Britney now. So, like, obviously she had this breakdown, and as a result from that, she has gone into what's known as like a legal conservatorship, which is usually actually reserved for people who physically or mentally or both can't take care of themselves. So it's where like your estate will go into control of maybe your next of kin. It can be like your husband or your wife and all this kind of stuff. So that happened to Britney Spears when she was, I mean, it was 2008, so she must have been 29, 30. I think she's 37 now. So,
and what was that? It was a temporary one at first, but then they
extended it.
They extended it to be...
Well, I think it's one of those things, like they always say, like, it's like losing custody of your children. Okay, and I know this from Teen Mom. Yes. Once you lose custody, it's so, so, so hard to get it back, because there had to have been some sort of, you know, traumatic or, you know, extreme event for you to be deemed irresponsible to have custody or care of your children.
And that's rightly so in a lot of cases, because
they have to protect the children, right? Yeah.
And we see where there's slip-ups where they have, like, you know, people have lost custody of their children and then regained it, an awful consequence.
Well, you always have to laws are in place to protect the innocent, you know what I mean? So they have to protect the innocent. Now in this case, it's like, but what I mean, my comparison is that, like, once you lose rights, they are, and this is another flaw in the system, you could argue, because surely she's the innocent party in this, it is now extremely hard for her to gain rights again. So Britney Spears' father is the I don't know what the legal term is, but like, he runs her life now, basically. He basically has all control of her estate, which is like all of her money, all of her incomings. He pays her a salary, allegedly. He basically, he says jump, she has to say how high. Like, it's like, if he wants her to go on tour, she goes on tour. If he wants her to stop going on tour, she stops going on tour.
And that was the strange thing about the whole conservatorship, because it was saying basically that she was unable to care for herself and her children and her finances and her lifestyle. However, then she got hired to do a Vegas residency.
Exactly.
So it's like, how many people who are mentally ill or physically ill are able to take on such a huge responsibility?
So to define a conservatorship, just so we know, a conservatorship is a legal concept in the United States. A guardian or a protector is appointed by a judge to manage financial affairs and or daily life of another due to physical or mental limitations or old age. A person under conservatorship is a conservatee, a term that can refer to an adult. So this is another huge thing. Britney Spears is not allowed to drive unless she has permission from her father. She's not allowed, allegedly, all this is, of course. But I think the it's not allegedly, because I think the legal documents have been published, because they are public knowledge. So as far as I read them a while ago, so as far as I know, this is public record. She's not allowed to drive. She's not allowed to vote. She's not allowed to marry. She's not allowed to have children. All of these things.
And is she allowed to see her children?
She has 30% custody. Kevin Federline has the rest, because her father lost custody because apparently he like assaulted one of her children. So she has, as I said, 30%, but I think it can also be somehow up to her dad if she gets to see her sons. And that was a big thing. So actually, to go on this, on the conservatorship and the Free Britney movement, something that kind of kicked this off, the Free Britney movement was kicked off because she was put into a mental institution allegedly against her will last January. But before that, when this conservatorship was happening and being drawn up recently, I think around the time she went into that mental facility, an old 911 call was leaked, which I'm going to play now, because this is where people are like, something ain't right with her situation. So one second.
Eve, January 21st at 12:29 a.m.
Hi, my name is Brittany Spears. I called you earlier, but I'm calling again because I just wanted to make sure during the process of ending the conservatorship that my father threatened me several times that, he'll take my children away. I just want to be guaranteed that everything will be fine with the process of you guys taking care of everything and things just being the same as far as my custodial time.
So she's saying there that, like, she hopes while this is being written up, this conservatorship, that during it, her father has basically used her kids as, like, ammo to be like, I'm taking it away. And here she is, like, so stressed about losing her custodial rights to her sons. Like, how insanely traumatic. And this is what people started to then vilify her father a lot for, because they're saying, like, clearly he is, like...
Well, for the assault and then this.
Yeah, well, this came out beforehand.
Oh, okay.
So that this, I think, played into the whole assault thing as well, which I'm presuming is legal kind of documents as well. But they're very concerned because he's obviously threatening, or was and successfully threatened, like, the loss of the custody of her child, that it won't be 50-50 anymore, because I think the kids then went into custody of him 50% and Kevin Federline 50%, and she would have, like, visitation. Also in her... in the documents for her conservatorship, it is said that the reasoning that she is under conservatorship is that her father is saying she has early onset dementia. Like, it's in the document. So he's alleging that she has dementia, but during this time she was on residency in Vegas. So it's like, only one of those things can be true. Either she is an adult who can perform nightly to thousands of people making hundreds of millions of dollars, or she has dementia. Like, how can you remember dance routines, lyrics to songs, all of this thing? Like, how can you perform? And apparently her show was incredible. How can you do that while having dementia? It, like, baffles. And dementia to the point where you're being deemed by a court of law that you can't take care of yourself or your money, that, like, you're able to go up on stage every single night, perform an hour and a half set, but you're not allowed by...
to, like, not be able to be in control of your own money while still making bank.
And whilst that bank is going into the bank of daddy. And
physically making bank. It's not like you're making bank off archives or whatever.
Yeah.
You are literally going to work nightly in Vegas.
And selling
performing
tickets.
Performing physically.
Sold out shows.
Like, it's... I mean, it's just a mess. It really does just seem such a mess. And to try and even pick through and understand it, I think when it's been from the get-go of her whole career, has been so hidden and curated into the people's perception of who Britney is. I just, as a child who grew up watching her, I never, ever, ever would have thought this would have been the outcome. My innocent self looking at Britney and loving her and seeing her as this perfect angel with everything. She was so gorgeous. And now looking at her and you see her eyes just look so lost and scared and, you know, like, dark. Like, there's just a darkness there. And
the weird thing was, is, like,
she's just so different.
Even, like, I remember when she was, and this just shows you how much the veneer of everything and how much this, the Free Britney movement, has actually brought to light. Because, like, when I saw her go back to Vegas and she was still pumping out music, albeit shite music, but music nonetheless, she was performing every night, she had a gaff, I was like, she's grand. I was like, she's clearly just, you know, I can understand not wanting to tour. She wants to do her residency. Who fucking doesn't? You make a lot of money doing a Vegas residency. And so I was like, oh, she's kind of on, like, you know,
a good path.
She's on the, well, I thought she was on the kind of closing of her career in a nice way. I thought that after Vegas, she'd have a nice retirement. I presumed, as many did, that she was making all of this money, that this money was going into her pocket. I was like, that's so nice for her. Like, she can now be like a 40-year-old, close to 40-year-old woman and completely retired. A lot of other stuff. Yeah, so then let's talk about what really kicked off the Free Britney movement is, as I said, there was this, it came out that she had gone into, like, a mental health care facility. In April 2019, I believe it came out that she was there. Allegedly, she was there since January against her will.
There's still... Well, now, with that whole against her will with a mental health facility...
That's why I said allegedly.
Yeah, no, it just makes me... Like, a lot of people, if they... Well, just from I know of like family, friends, etc. If anyone has had the horror of someone being really mentally ill and them having like their, you know, someone having to place them in care, it's like, so when I think when people are using, and I'm not saying you, but when like the media are saying and comments on Instagram and stuff saying like she was put in against her will, we don't know the like whole meaning behind that. That could have meant that she was having an absolute breakdown and had to be put in for her own protection.
It does, but I think they're saying against her will because it was done upon, she was signed in by her dad and it's due to the conservatorship. So like arguably anything is against her will. Her whole life is against her will at this point because she can't, she actually physically couldn't even put herself in care. But then she came out on Instagram saying that she did because of her dad's sickness. So, but a huge part of, you know, dare you call it evidence, came out when there was a podcast that had been detailing the Free Britney movement received, have you heard this, the voice note from the lawyer, the voicemail. No. So a lawyer called into this podcast, which had been, as I said, documenting and talking about the Free Britney movement. I'm going to play the clip of the lawyer now and what he said. So this will also give a little bit of background and why people are now pretty convinced that it was against her will.
Hi there. I cannot disclose who I am. I just heard the latest episode. You guys are onto something. I used to be a paralegal for an attorney that worked with Britney's conservatorship. I'm no longer with them. And what is happening is disturbing, to say the least. So, basically, when Britney was in rehearsals for Domination, it came to Jamie's attention, Jamie Spears, that Britney was not taking her medication as prescribed. She was missing a lot of doses and just full on not taking them. So they got her to the doctor. The doctor said, okay, if you don't want these medications, let's get you on a new one. Well, she refused to take the new one. So Jamie said, either you take this medication or the show's off and I'm pulling my support and you can't do it. Britney did not follow Jamie's instructions, and so he was true to his word. He pulled the show. He verbatim said, blame it on my illness, and that's when we get the early January Instagram.
So that then pulls up this kind of screenshot of on January 4th, Britney or someone on her team posted on her Instagram that she was taking a break to deal with her father's current health issues.
Fast forward a couple days, Britney's still not following through with her medication. And as you guys have mentioned, she is seen with Sam driving. A big no-no on, it's a big rule that she broke.
So yeah, again, on January 7th, she was seen driving out with her boyfriend, Sam.
Britney has been in the mental facility since mid-January. Of course, the statement yesterday said she entered last week. That is not true. She's been in there since mid-January. And there is no timeline. Granted, I've been gone. I haven't worked with the company or at the firm for about a little over 2 weeks now. But there is no end, particularly in sight, for this stay at this mental facility to end. She did not want to go. I'm just a paralegal. I haven't had any contact with her, but from what I understand, this was not a decision she made at all.
And that's where it cuts off.
So that is where it could offer them. And this is like really fanned the flames.
And then another thing as well, which fanned the flame last week, was a TikTok, not a TikTok star, a guy came out on TikTok and read, I have it here somewhere. Yeah, her friend who used to work with her.
His name is like Andrew something.
Andrew, yeah. If you just look up TikTok Britney letter, you can see that. And he reads a letter that she wrote in the third person, which also makes me kind of like concerned. I think that's a bit of a odd way to.
Well, it was she wrote herself. It in 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, do you know what the sad thing about it is? I just think like, I don't think that Britney will ever be free.
Well, she never was.
She never was, and I don't think she ever will be. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a horrific. I just think it's the most horrific. Like, yes, she, like, I think she was just the biggest child star ever. And that's what you get. This is how, that's the card. You know, it's just so sad. It's so sad that she was never given a chance at life. Just in the same case that some, you know, she was just like, her abuse was seen as better because she had money, she had the looks, she had this fame and attention and talent. But it was still, I'm saying, child abuse from the get-go. Talking about her sexuality in that way and like controlling her whole life and pushing her to work. And like, there's just, and I don't know, like, I think the what's happening now, and like, Jenny and I years ago watched a documentary which is called
Britney for the Record.
Yeah, Britney for the Record.
It's incredible. Oh my God.
It was a 2008 documentary about her. And I remember one standout point for that documentary. She's still, like, she's beautiful in the documentary. She's speaking really eloquently. And
it's right. It's about her comeback. So it's about her coming back into the public eye. I think the Gimme More and all that had happened, but it's kind of like the conservatorship is like right under like rule. You know, the way it's happening, it's live. And it's about her kind of being. I mean, it's really sad because it's about someone like healing from a mental and or slash nervous breakdown and then being put back to work immediately. But then again, it's also like, which I touched upon in the earlier episode, part of the episode, it's also like all she knew. So I'm sure she did get some form of gratitude and some form of like, you know, normality by going back into the entertainment industry because it's all she was ever given and all she ever knew.
And that's what it's like if you look at like say bloody one of Carol Baskin's tigers that she has, and the people were saying like, oh, why don't you set them free? Because all they know is a cage.
Yeah.
How can we separate? Like, I think that might be the fear mm-hmm. of her people. So us as fans who don't know anything because it's also covered, we're assuming that like all this should be done to protect her and let her live a free life. But she's never lived it. So,
yeah, I think.
And she does clearly have mental health issues.
Well,
regardless if that was like put on for, you know, if that was. All we know, like if that was pushed from her people and medication and all this other stuff, but like she clearly does.
Well, I think the
and that turn and that abuse would make you
absolutely. But I think the big conversation now isn't about like, you know, as you said, a good analogy, like letting a zoo animal into the wildlife. It's about having her have her own say. Like, for example, in her conservatorship, she's not allowed to hire her own lawyer mm-hmm. for any disputes she has. So it's like, while you obviously, you know, be it what it may, like we're not doctors. I don't know what her mental health issues are. Who knows if she was being medicated? Who knows if she's medicated now? Like, we just don't know.
No.
And we'll never know. And that's her right to have that private too. It's not our right to have that as public record, you know, like her mental health struggles. But what she should be able to do is like anyone in a fucking quote unquote free country is be able to have representation independent of the person who is going against you. So like if she is trying to break free of a conservatorship, the person who is the like quote unquote like runner of that conservatorship should not be hiring your lawyer.
It's just so dark and there's so many different spokes to it. Like you talk a lot about her boyfriend, like to me, and there's a comment here on this YouTube that we watched. I was it's just up here about her boyfriend Sam. No one is talking about her boyfriend. First of all, that dude does not even look like her type. He's so obsessed with himself and my gaydar is telling me he might be. IDK, they have one video of them kissing and it's like a peck. I feel like he is like her handler slash babysitter slash marketing tool. He has been with her for like 3 years and I think he was the one who tipped off her father about her not taking that medicine that is giving her dementia. This has to end.
I fully think that your man, and like, just let me run my tinfoil hat ass off here, because
please do, queen.
I just think that guy, because and the reason I think this is because it worked on me. I remember, like, not really hearing much. As I said, the quiet, kind of quiet period of Britney, where I thought she was grand, popping around Vegas. And then I saw, like, her with this fella. And I was like, fair fucking bladia. I was like, Dudley, clearly, this guy who's, like, 10 years younger than her, like, seemed and doesn't really have much going on, allegedly is mar about her, all of these things. I'm like, surely she has her shit together if she's, you know, keeping around a well-to-do guy. Because before that, she was dating all these fucking losers. These
wasn't she dating a paparazzi?
She was dating
a
paparazzi. She dated her manager. She dated all these people that were like, you know, and they were really forcibly putting themselves in the limelight. And this guy didn't really seem to be doing that. So I was like, fair fucking play. She's dating this younger, hot guy. That's really cool. You know, and that's why I think it's all smoke and mirrors. I think that he is literally some sort of earpiece to whoever, I don't know who, but I feel like he is a plant in there to have, again, if we go back to the veneer of her being this perfect virgin person, he is now another veneer of her being kind of like keeping the Free Britney people away of like, no, but look, she's got a boyfriend. She's got a really good
How bad can her life
and
be?
And like, he looks like a fucking Ken doll. Like,
he's so preened and like,
he's like insane looking. Like, in a, like, he looks like a Michelangelo carved him. He's like an 8-pack. He's like 6'4". He's this but also there's not really any information on him. He's like, what, a model?
There's it's no weird. Information on him. And for someone of her caliber of celebrity, like I said when we were on the phone to Adam, these people have no morals. They will fully go in through your bins. They will, like, I remember reading that the National Enquirer once, when Tiger Woods was dealing with his whole breakdown, they once followed him where he was shagging someone in the car, a sex worker, and he threw out the condom, and the National Enquirer grabbed the condom full of Tiger Woods cum, put it in a Ziploc, and it was somewhere in the filing cabinet of the National Enquirer. Shock. This is the level that people will go.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that there's no information on Britney Spears, who was huge and who can sell papers because people want to read this shit. So, like, again, the media won't have any morale because they just want their money.
Mm.
So there has to be so much protection around the whole world of Britney for them to not even be able to, like, attain any...
a dark information about this guy or like his ex-girlfriend. Like, I've never seen
nothing.
If you Google him, and this is my experience from Googling him, nothing comes up except for Britney Spears articles. Like, there's none that's like, where was Sam Asghari before he knew Britney? And like, he's also put up an Instagram recently trying to say that, like, he's trying to like align cancel culture with the father, which is just also seems kind of like, surely you should just shut the fuck up. Like, if something was going on, surely, like, as if someone's partner, as someone's, like, you know, quote unquote live-in boyfriend. Now there's a lot of evidence that he doesn't live with her, he pretends to live with her, because like when he Instagrams from his apartment,
and she mentions him a lot in her chaotic Instagrams, which is also a bit like, hold on, you have 30 seconds of your like free time on Instagram and you're gonna like baby. It's very,
but like,
performative.
I can't remember my point there, but what I'm saying is, I don't know,
or the fact that he doesn't live with her.
He doesn't live with her, like, and like he also does stuff like he's always seen out and about without her. Oh, sorry. My point was that surely if something's going on like the Free Britney movement, your role as a partner is to be supportive to your girlfriend. Your role is not to mouth off on Instagram supporting the person who is, by law, and it's public record, controlling her life. Now, maybe the, you know, he is all dandy and he's great and he's helping Britney, but that's still her family and it's her position to come out and be like, stop cancelling my father, he's doing good for me. And that's where it, like, alarm bells for me go off. And I'm like, why are you chiming in on something that really has nothing to fucking
because
do with
getting
you
paid.
Exactly. It's like, you are a mouthpiece. You are like,
well, you're hired, so you don't want to lose your job. You are
banking.
You're
hired normality. They're probably, in my opinion, they're like saying to him like, right, go out there and make it, like, blah 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 blah. And like, There's just so much shit. Like, people think that Sam Asghari, as that lawyer said, he's the one feeding information back. He's like an eyepiece. Like, all this crazy shit is.
And this is like a world that we don't know. Like, I mean, there's been, you know, rumors going around about the Kardashians that they have hired boyfriends. Like, when Kourtney Kardashian's hot ass ex and Kylie Jenner now has this other equally righty fella that's like in her Instagrams. And it's like, okay.
And they all look the same.
They all look so similar. They're drop dead. You never know how they met, really. It's like at an event.
And they never, like, they never really talk or anything. There's no information on them.
Yeah.
They're like,
probably because they're paid not to and they're hired and all that kind of stuff. So this is like, that's normal in the world of Hollywood. Mm. You know, like, it's difficult for us to kind of comprehend, but
it sounds
probably
completely conspiratorial. But if you actually look at Hollywood or the entertainment industry's track record, it happens all the time. That like, look, Colin Farrell and Britney Spears were lumped together for a bit of PR.
It happens even in UK shit. Yeah. They'll put Bear from bloody X on the Beach with Georgia from Love Island and all this kind of stuff.
Like
you know?
You've read, like, I mean, if you've read anything about Hollywood,
it happened with Shannon Riley McGrath, who is an Irish girl, and Ricky from Geordie Shore.
It's so, like,
they were Instagramming, and then it came out, I think he came out and said that was all, and then she denied it. So it's like, this is normal in that culture.
And historically, since Hollywood, since like the big Hollywood boom in the 50s, Marilyn Monroe was set up with people to be, you know, fake going out with. It happens all the time. So it's like, surely if it happened all the time, it's not that crazy that it's now happening to a person whose life is literally being controlled in every other aspect. Mm-hmm. So why is it such a far throw that her fellow would be?
Well, like, the likelihood of her being controlled, that she can't go driving, she can't, but apparently she can go out and get the ride and have this long-term relationship.
Yeah.
But she can't go in her car. And from that documentary where we were talking about...
For the record,
there was a scene that just kind of stayed with me throughout the years. And it was like her in her car, the roof down, and she was just driving. And she was like, when I feel at my most free... it's when I'm just on the open road driving.
She loved when she got it was, driving. Yeah, and it was her talking about how she was like, it was about her conservatorship as far as I remember, and she was saying that she was just dying for the day where she gets her car back. It was literally her lamenting on being able to fucking drive, and now it's actually, like, it's been leaked, the papers. She's not allowed to drive without permission. And allegedly this driving situation, like, something else that lawyer referenced in there is that she was rehearsing for this new show. Now, that new show was her new... Vegas show, because again, I'm sure she finds some comfort in actually going back to work and, you know, doing something with her time, like, when everything else is controlled. And she does clearly love to dance and perform. I'm sure she does, you know, somehow like that. And then,
well, it's like muscle memory, it's all she knew, so
yeah. But also, so she was allegedly rehearsing for this, and because she wasn't taking her medicine, allegedly her father came in and was like, cancel the show. So then he's also taking that away from her, you know. So it's like, she can't win. It's just so dark.
It's so dark, and I don't think anyone is close to understanding.
Mm-mm.
I really don't. And I do think a large part of it that is being missed is that, like, yes, all of these things, her whole, like, you know, being plunged into stardom at such a young age, and the, like, virality of her, and, like, the paparazzi, and, like, then the breakdown. Mm. I just think it's a stretch, personally, from my own opinion, to have that happen, the breakdown happen, and then find yourself back to being a normal person. I do think, I feel like my personal opinion on it is that I don't think she's being treated well, but I do think that her mental health is just, they're just trying to manage it right now. And, like, it's, you know, for an example with her driving, if someone is apparently mentally ill and has, we don't know. We know the breakdown because it was public, but we don't know what's going on every day, if she's being erratic. Now, of course, when we see her on stage, it makes us think, well, she can do that, but that's muscle memory in some way. I don't know, but maybe they are trying to protect her from herself. I don't know. No one knows.
We don't know, but there are a lot of red flags. The fact that it's in there, the dementia thing is a big thing for me. That it's that the reason that he's been able to push this forward is because he's filed for her having early onset dementia. That to me does not fly. Because fair enough, if he's saying she's bipolar or something else that seems a little more tangible, like her mental breakdown. Look, a lot of people have nervous breakdowns or mental breakdowns. It is not completely unheard of, and it isn't always debilitating, especially 10 years on. You can manage that. Now, obviously, she had mental health struggles, and, you know, her past, whatever, all led up to the breakdown. But what my concern is how that breakdown was managed.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't know what happened from then. We don't know what, when you're having a, if you have mental health issues and you're put on the wrong medication. And the reason I'm saying that is because I do not believe that Britney Spears has early onset dementia. So if she is being medicated as such, that would have drastic impact on her current mental health. So we don't know if her mental health, or the way that we're seeing her now, we don't know what that is. We don't know if that's actually, if it's because she's not taking her medication, if it's because she's being medicated wrong, is it because, you know, we don't know why that, why the way, why she is being
an American medication presented is totally different to hear.
And not even the medication. The medication is the same. It's the way in which it's dispensed and the accessibility to it.
And it's also how you're diagnosed.
Exactly.
Because I have had friends who've dealt with mental health where for years it was just trying to pin down the actual problem. Like, I have friends of mine who were seeing therapists and psych, you know, the whole lot, the whole shebang. They were inpatient, outpatient, then they were said 1 week it was bipolar, next week it was this, and it was like never knowing what was the problem to manage. So that could be a situation, and then it could be the fact that like they're trying to manipulate that.
And in Hollywood you also see it all the time, people being, you know, dodgy doctors.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at it in the sense of like, say, Michael Jackson, that doctor was like giving him medication that like killed him in the end. Like, your man went to jail. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, it is not a far cry that there are crazy doctors who are doctors for hire, basically.
When you have enough money and you have people to delegate what, you know.
And when the person controlling the money, controlling the doctors and controlling the medication is also the one profiting off you in an insane amount. Like, it's also, I'm pretty sure, in the legal stuff that leaked, that she gets like $1,500 a month, but she's worth $65 million.
What kind of troubled me mostly was that apparently her mum was liking comments against the father.
That, because her mother and father obviously have divorced in the past some amount of years. They're not together anymore.
Yeah.
And that is one thing that always is like, to me, I'm like, where's her ma? But I guess she's being stopped from being able to talk to her mother. Because I in my like rabbit hole of this, I was trying to find information on the mom, and they were kind of saying like, Brittany had like basically disowned the mom. But then it's like, anything that Brittany does, it's like, you don't know who's pulling the reins on that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is it actually coming from Brittany, or is it coming from her lawyer?
And her son went on live a while ago on Instagram. And apparently he was saying that he hated the dad, like Brittany's
dad.
Well,
he said he's an asshole.
Yeah, something like that. And then, you know, he said he'd give more information if he got 5,000 followers. Or
which is
like
just
that.
Like teenage
it's
shit.
Teenage stuff, but it's also just like, I do think that like, hopefully this, I mean, if we don't hear anything from this movement, for example, which like, I don't know if the movement of Free Britney is beneficial to her. I think
it is, because look how much it's brought to light. Like, that's there's so true, yeah. much shit that I did not know, and I would not have known if it wasn't for that Free Britney.
I get
movement.
That, but I just feel that like, we do know it, but if I just feel like they'll just be covering up more, and just because like, it's been so covered for so many years, and we're talking about the most famous person of our generation. We don't know anything about. We don't know the ins and outs. We know these little tiny scraps that we're getting from God knows where.
Well, I think a big thing that it's the tangible thing is that apparently she has a hearing. I think it might be tomorrow. I think it's like the 22nd of July. It could be August though. And she has a hearing which is being suppressed by them, allegedly, again. This is what I've just read. That is basically her, because I'm pretty sure my understanding of it was that her conservatorship is up for question every couple of years, and that is happening now. But this is the whole thing, that she's not allowed to hire her own legal team, and there's all these petitions. I'm pretty sure the Instagram account of Velvet Coke and a load of Instagram accounts, to be honest, have a petition up for like, to allow her to get her own legal representation and for her to choose that. So that would be a huge thing that could change something if she was able to get like independent and non-biased,
and get someone who's actually there to help her honestly,
that isn't being paid by the dad as well and informed by the dad, you know, that way. Like, that is huge. That's like, you're completely cuckolded and trapped in that situation. If you're imagine being in the workplace and you having some sort of, you wanting to go to court over something that happened in work, and the person that you're basically suing is hiring your lawyer. Of course they're going to hire someone who's on their side.
Nonsensical. I mean, Britney has been crying for years. She's so lucky. She's a star. But she cries with a broken heart. Like, it's been her life for years, and it's really sad, and it's really confusing, and like, it's a rabbit hole, like you said.
Like, there's so much stuff we haven't even gone into. Like, there's that whole like Perfect Doll album she was meant to be releasing, and that didn't come out.
Hopefully if her children, as they get older, they might have more of a voice, because now it just feels wrong to be, for even to be repeating what they're saying on live, you know. They are still children.
Kids. That could be a big thing for her. When her oldest son, I think it's Sean or something like that, when he becomes of age.
And hopefully if he is not completely fucked over by like a different lawsuits of not ever being able to speak out, you wouldn't know how they could control the children as well.
Well, they couldn't control him if he doesn't sign anything.
It's just like we want to hear more. And it always feels unfair with these things. And this is coming from a completely privileged point of just being the like consumer of her music and everything as a child. You know, you give us this person and then she's gone and we don't know anything. Like, where's Kevin Federline? Where's the, like, come out and speak and do these like sit down interviews. Like, something's going on that is troubling.
Well, I think Kevin Federline is under a legal thing.
Okay.
Because that is another thing that came out through this that she basically said in that letter that we didn't really go into detail on. But again, you can, if you look it up,
TikTok,
if you look it up on YouTube, you'll be able to hear it.
TikTok Britney letter.
Yeah, TikTok Britney letter. But he basically said that like their divorce with Kevin Federline was like almost forced.
Yeah.
And that was a huge part of her breakdown. So I would presume that there was some sort of payout that like maybe the parents or the management company, probably rightly so, didn't think that Kevin Federline was the best look for her. But again, no one should be like, I mean, that would be so insanely traumatic. Even if you and your boyfriend were like killing each other or being so toxic, like,
if I was like, you and Evan aren't working, it's not good for the band, you're breaking up.
You, and then you pay him off to never talk about it, and then you end up controlling my medication. Like, it's insane. It's
completely wild.
When she's an adult who had two children with this man, like, surely she should be the one to manage the divorce. But either way,
I just think regardless, there should be some kind of open conversation about it, because we as the public visually saw this breakdown. And to even get an understanding of like mental health and how it works, like if there was more conversation, and it's just so oddly curated via her Instagram, and you know, and of course the public are trying to pick at these things to understand, like, oh, someone commented like, if she wears yellow, it means you are looking for help. The next video she's wearing yellow,
and everyone now in every comment is like, we're green, we're purple, we're red. I'm like, okay guys, we're obviously going to get a color because you're naming every fucking color in the rainbow.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, we're like, we're trying to just pluck, because for once she was everywhere on MTV, on our little CD players, you know, we were wearing Britney tops, we were and now it's like we don't know anything, and it's a weird thing. Not that we are even due the knowledge of her whereabouts or what's going on, but I do think,
well, it's like that parasocial relationship kind of thing, right?
It's almost even like we saw and visualized this person growing up for the public to know. I do think it would be beneficial for public knowledge to know, like, this is what happens with it, you know, like, to know. Even now we have like trolling, we have cancel culture. Like, I mean, that was a wake up call for us as a podcast when we had spoken about Caroline Flack and the situation and both said some regretful things, but that was only in hindsight when you kind of saw the magnitude of your words and what it does to a person.
Yeah.
So,
or how it can add to a conversation. Yeah.
So if Britney's people were more like transparent with what's going on, it would kind of be able to like just fill in the jigsaw of what went wrong and how to prevent that again.
Yeah, I mean, to wrap it up, I mean, I guess it's just one of those things that, like, I don't think that will happen, because I don't think they want to prevent it happening, because they want to actually continue. They want to prevent the opposite.
They want, like, money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they want the control. And it's such a dark rabbit hole. And we haven't, I mean, weirdly, we haven't even scratched the surface, because, like, we could have done weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of research on this, but like, I think it's like, it's so interesting and it's just so insane for people who grew up like alongside Britney Spears, albeit like, you know, a couple years younger. It's just bizarre to continuously see it, because even when I saw the breakdown happen and I saw her then go into the mental health facility and I saw her then go to Vegas, as I said, I thought that was kind of it for her. I thought it was like, oh great, she's kind of at the swan song of her career, she'll get to retire, live her life with her sons.
Well, that was the money. Like, I remember, like, as soon as she had the breakdown, the media were pushing for the comeback.
Oh no, exactly, you know. But like, what I'm saying is that, like, it's an awkward, it's just such a weird thing to now see this blow up again, and I'm like, oh my god, in hindsight now I'm like, whoa. Where I thought that she had found peace, say 4 years ago, I would have been like, Britney Spears, grand, she's working away in fucking Vegas, that's deadly. I'm like, whoa, it never ended for her. What I thought was the end, it was probably only the breakdown, what we thought was the end, was the only the beginning of her life being under such control. And now we're also in, like, she's been under the conservatorship longer than she had her prime. She had prime from 98 to 2006. She's been under conservatorship since 2008. It's 2020. That's 12 years versus like 8.
And it's just wild to think, because like you said, when you kind of forget about her, isn't that so sad that she touched so many, like, the whole world knew how Britney Spears was. And when she's trapped in her home under her father and whoever else is working alongside to kind of control her, you kind of do forget.
Absolutely.
When you're not being fed by the media, these
out of sight, out of mind.
It totally. So then when, so it is good, I get what you mean in that sense of like that, it's like, you know, being out in the open a bit more and like people are taking responsibility. You know, it was the same with the BLM, like obviously,
well, no one's taking responsibility. That's no one's taking
responsibility
thing.
But it is a bit of like, you know, obviously a hugely different thing, but like, you know, these things that like you can forget about.
Well, yeah, you when know? You're in the privileged position to not experience them every day.
Yeah,
you know, so it is that kind of thing of like it being, and that's why I do think overall, like, to wrap it up, I think the Free Britney movement is like, I think it's kind of cool because I'm like, this is the first time, you know, if you look at so many fallen stars, you know, like Marilyn Monroe, all these people, like imagine there was like this like tribe of people fighting for your rights, even albeit if you don't control your social media and you don't know what's happening. Like, I do find that like a nice thing.
Well, it's like the human race. If you can't trust your own father, your own people who've been working with you for years, the closest people to you, at least of the human race and the public who adored her, they want the best for her. And that's what the whole Free Britney movement is about.
So, guys, we could go on and on, as I said, but we got to wrap it up.
Wrap it up, girls, and buy our merch.
Yeah, let us know what you thought of this episode, because it's been highly requested. We hope we did it justice. We did it as best we could in our own little style. But we'll be back next week with more juice.
Bye, gals.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.